All right. If you guys would find a Bible or a Bible app and open up to Genesis chapter 2, you'll be in, chapter 12, excuse me, Genesis chapter 12, you'll be in the right place. When we were going through the last series, right around the time we were talking to Stosh and Donna, and thank you, Stosh and Donna, for being willing to step up and not only be willing to serve at the discretion of the church, but also to speak this morning. And that was right around the time we were talking about Stephen, of course, the first martyr in the church, who was a new deacon. So that's not part of the process, just so you know. We don't take them out back and throw rocks at them, but they might feel like it. But I probably shouldn't say that until after they've been elected. So Genesis chapter 12, we're going to be in verses 1 through 3. The question for you this morning that I want you thinking about is this. I assume you're here because you believe that God exists, right? That God is out there. Otherwise, what are we doing here, right, this morning? But if God exists, and since God exists, it is vitally important for us to know how God feels about us. Because if God exists, then we have to know how God feels about us. For instance, if you find yourself in a place where you're wondering, what did my boss, what did she mean by what she said in that meeting to me? Or what did my friend mean when she texted this, right? Or what did my spouse mean when she gave me that look? My daughter used to communicate with me. She's mostly grown out of this, although it does happen from time to time. I would ask something of her, and she would respond in a meme. And I just lost most of you above a certain age, I know. But it's a meme is, sort of like an inside joke with the kids where they make us feel old, right? That's their response to things. And I would have to respond to her and say, I don't know what you're trying to say to me with this, right? Like, what does it mean that Drake is doing this and this? I don't have a clue what any of that means. But God is not, that was for you, Drew. God is not the kind of God that communicates with us in that way. Sometimes I'll be talking with my wife, or I'll be talking to some of you, and I've said this before, my mouth gets ahead of my brain, and I'll just start saying things, and my wife won't even have to give me a full look, right? Just a little look. What do they call that on TV? A micro expression or something like that? And I'll know in that moment, Brad, rein it in, right? Because I know her intentions. I know what she's thinking just by that. So as we look at and as you think about what does God, what are his feelings towards me? What does God want for me? If you were to just look at 2020, if you were to just think about this year, you might be tempted to think that God has animosity towards you, that God is angry with you, and that's God's disposition for you. I don't know about you. I am excited to be in December of 2020 just because 2020 is almost over. 2020 feels like the longest 5 years of my life, right? And I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to turn the page into something else. And even as we look at this and we see that the news of vaccines are starting to be on the paper or in the news next to news of infections and all of those things, probably like me, you're thinking, I'm ready for 2021 to be a blessing. I'd kind of like some blessings, God, this year. I'd kind of like to get some examples of your favor in my life. And at the risk of sounding like one of those TV preachers, okay, I want you to know this. I want you to know that God's will for your life is to bless you. I want you, no matter what this year has felt like for you, no matter how many different burdens it has brought into your life, I want you to know that God's will for your life is to bless you. And I know that for some of you, that's a hard pill to swallow, because it has seemed like anything but the fact that God wants to bless you. And God is in control of COVID, and God's in control of many of the other things that have happened in our life over this year. But God is in his will, in using those things to accomplish his will. He is desiring to bless you through them. And you might say, that couldn't feel further from the reality of my experience right now. That couldn't feel less like the truth, because God's had me on a very hard road over the last year. So how can I know this? Here we are the second week into our Christmas series that I've called Anticipating Jesus. And I said to you, if I do say so myself, that is a pretty good subtitle for the entire Old Testament. Anticipating Jesus, because that's what all of it is doing. So here we are, second week of a Christmas series, and we're still not in Matthew, we're still not in Luke, we're still not talking about the Christmas story, because I want you to see, even as we saw last week, that God is a God, that it was completely consistent with who he is and how he's worked to come down and enter into our experience because of our sin. That's how he responds to us, is to come down. And so we saw that last week in Genesis. I want us to see this week, and we're going to go from being with Adam and Eve in the garden to now being with a man named Abram, and later Abraham, this Mesopotamian that God's going to speak to, and he's going to call out to him, and he's going to accomplish this thing in us so that we would see that his desire, not just for Abram, but his desire for all of us, that we see it fulfilled in Christ, and it all points to Christ, but his desire for us is to bless us. Even in the difficulty, even in the struggle, his desire is to bless us. So I want you to look at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3 with me. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" And I just want to stop there for 1 second and say this. God is drawing a circle in. He starts in his country, right? And then he draws that circle in closer and closer into the reality of his life. God's calling him to leave behind. And we've talked about the fact that God is doing that in many of our lives as well. But I want you to look at verses 2 and 3, because 2 and 3 is where we're going to spend most of our time. He says, And there's an implied if, right? If you go, I will make you of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. One of the things that I've said before, if you want to know a really basic way when you read a passage of scripture to know some key things that it's trying to convey to you, one easy way to do that is to look and see words that are repeated. And if you look in verses 2 and 3, you'll see one word that dominates verses 2 and 3 5 times in 2 verses. He says bless, he says blessing, he says blessed 2 more times, and then he says blessed. Some of us need to embrace the fact, to understand the fact that this is God's orientation towards you. Some of us come to this expectation of God and we think, because we look at the world around us, that God is turned against us, not that God is turned towards us. And this word, it might surprise some of you to know that the Hebrew word here for bless is the word barak. That's not a political statement at all, but it's just the Hebrew word. But I want you to understand this. When we talk about what a blessing is, we don't mean what you pray over a meal. We don't mean what you say when someone sneezes. But a blessing is this. A blessing is the expression of the favor of one who is greater. You with me? Blessing is the expression of the favor of one who is greater. Whether that's someone in authority over you, or that's someone who has an opportunity that you don't have, or as in the case of this, we're talking about God himself. So when he talks about blessing us, we are talking about the fact that God's disposition towards you and towards me is one of showing us his favor, which is just kind of a way of saying that God's not angry with us, God smiles on us. God smiles on us. So a blessing is the expression of the favor of one greater than yourself. When I was a young driver, when I was 16, my dad told me that my biggest struggle as a young driver was the fact that I was too confident. And more than a few times, I had a sheriff in the first service. There's no police officers here that I'm aware of right now. So I'm over this sin. It's no longer a struggle in my life. But early on, I found myself more than a few times where I had exceeded the speed limit. I know none of you do that, right? but I exceeded the speed limit. And once I got caught by the town of Niskayuna, and I had to go and stand in court. But in our church at the time, there was a man who was a detective for the town of Niskayuna. And while he did not get me out of the charges against me, he did speak on my behalf to the judge. He spoke to the judge favorably of me. He spoke to him of my character. He spoke to him of the kinds of things about my life. So he smiled on me. He spoke on my behalf. And when we understand here that this is what God does for us, he turns his smile upon us. So, unbelieving friend, what I want you to know this morning, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Christ, however hard it feels for you to accept this right now, the God that you're not too sure about desires to bless you. His will towards you is to bless you. And Christian, what I want you to know this morning, not because you have it as a slogan or on a t-shirt, not because you bought it on a piece of distressed wood at Hobby Lobby that somebody painted on it, I want you to know that the word that describes your life in Christ is blessed. Whether you feel like it right now because of your circumstances or not, the word that describes your life in relationship to God is blessed. That's the reality that you live in. So here's what I want you to see. Here's the main thing that I want you to see this morning. I want you to see that Jesus is the expression of the favor of God. Jesus is the expression of the favor of God. And you probably knew that that was going to be the answer. You already maybe filled in the blank, right? You knew that the answer was Jesus because after all, we're at church. But Jesus is the expression of the favor of God. And I want you to see that as we unpack these verses. But I want you to see this first. I want you to look at those two verses again, verses 2 and 3 of Genesis 12, and I want you to see the future tense of what's going on. If you do this, I will do this. I shall do this. God is pointing towards the future. One of the things he says is, I will make of you a great nation. I will make of you a great nation. Now, if you were to just go back a couple of verses to chapter 11, verse 30, you would find there that Abram's wife, a woman at the time named Sarai, that God's going to change her name to, but she was barren. So God's going to call this man to leave everything behind that he knew. And God's going to have such audacity to say, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he's not speaking here metaphorically. He's going to use the word to speak of a nation. He's going to make of them a great nation. This thought that a barren woman would give rise to a great nation is not that far from the thought of a young virgin girl who would have a child. He goes on, I will bless you and I will make your name great. This is royal language. He's going to say in chapter 17, verse 6, that from you, Abram, I'm going to bring kings. I'm going to bring kings from you. And yes, David is going to come, but he's pointing even beyond that to a greater king with a greater name. Even as he says that, he says, I will make your name great. If you were to go back again to chapter 11, you're going to see there in chapter 11, verse 4, all the people have gathered together, and what was their desire? Their desire was to make a great name for themselves. But here's God saying to this man who's leaving everything behind, that it seems so implausible what God has told him to do. He says, I am going to give you a great name. I scattered the nations, but I'm going to give you a great name because of what I'm doing in you. But of these seven statements that we find in these two verses, it's the middle one and the last one that are key. When you see lists like this, they often function in this way. The middle one, the central one, and the last one become the most important. So let's look. Look at verse 2. He says in verse 2 that the purpose of all of this blessing is not so that they might just become a repository for the blessing of God. But rather, he says in verse 2, so that you will be a blessing. His point here is that he is going to use Abram to be a blessing. And then in verse 3, he's going to explain how. He says, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed. How do we connect this to what we're talking about here? Paul saw the connection. He took up these verses in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. He says in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. And then in verse 16, he's going to be referencing the Abrahamic covenant that's going to come later, but it's central here. He says in verse 16, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. What's Paul saying? He's saying all of these promises that God is giving to Abraham, not that they would only speak of Christ, but that they would terminate in Christ. That Christ would be the center of exactly what God is saying. He'd be the fulfillment. And I want you to see this. I want you to see that what he's saying is that Christ is the embodiment of the blessing of God. If you want to know, if you want to know what God's disposition towards you is, then you need only look to Jesus Christ. You need only look to the fact that he would send his son to step out of glory into the earth, to be born in a manger, to live a sinless life we couldn't live, to die a sinner's death in our place, to be raised from the dead, to give us life. We need only look at that if we want to understand what God's disposition is towards us. It's the person Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment. He's the fulfillment of the favor of God. But I want you to see when you look back at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, I want you to see that all of that depends on a call of God. All of that depends on a call of God. The first time God speaks to Abram and the last time God speaks to Abram in Genesis 22, he starts with the same word. He says, go. What's he saying? He's saying, respond to what I'm saying. Be obedient, not just in your words, but be obedient in action. And here's the first thing that I want you to see. If you're going to receive the fulfillment of the blessing of God, of God's favorable disposition towards you, what must we do? The first thing is this, that we would answer the call of God's favor. There's a call of God's favor. I went for the younger crowd with the meme thing earlier. I'm going to go just a little bit older here, all right? How many of you remember the Friday night call-in dedication hours on the radio stations? A lot of you apparently were the ones that actually already had dates, so you were out on Friday night, right? They would always put these on Friday night so that the lonely hearts like me, we would be there listening with just the hope that somebody would dedicate a song to us. Remember that? And I remember when I was in the sixth grade, I was just doing whatever I was doing with my lonely self on a Friday night, and I'm listening to the radio. Some of you be able to identify. This is around 1987, 1988, something like that. And as I'm listening to the radio, I hear that Miranda is dedicating to Brad Gunther the song Sweet Child of Mine. Now, I have no idea what a Guns N' Roses dedication says anything about anything, but all I knew was for the first time in my little junior high life, someone of the opposite sex had thought of me, right? That they had extended a thought about me. I still don't know what that means. And Miranda, if you're listening right now, I didn't respond to that call. I hope you will to this one. But I want you to know that when God extends that call to you, it's because God has a favorable disposition towards you. How can you and I know that Jesus is the expression of God's desire to bless you? How can we know that he's the expression of his favorable heart towards you? I want you to look again to what Paul says, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. It'll be up on the screen for you. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, so that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, we're going to come back to verse 3 at the end of our time together, but I just want to say this. I want to say to you that if God called you, if he extended that call of his favor, of his blessing, before he ever created you, then that can only be an expression of the disposition of God towards you. That can only speak of God's heart towards you. It says nothing of your heart towards God, nothing of what you might do to please God. It speaks only of God's heart towards you. But for the favor of God to become practical in our lives, we must respond to the call. And he's calling you in Jesus. It is the expression of his favor, of his blessing in your life. Now, number two, I want you to see this, the cost of God's favor. Now, I said earlier, you know how in Star Wars, there's always those moments when you've got the Ghost Council of Jedi that show up, you know, they're like there to approve of whatever is going on. You've got Yoda and you've got Obi-Wan Kenobi and you've got all those people that sort of pop up behind the scenes. I kind of feel that right now because I'm not an alliteration guy, but I feel like all the Baptist preachers that came before me are like, you know, standing behind me right now, offering just a smidge of approval because I'm alliterating my points. So you got to give me this, all right? The cost of God's favor. I want you to know that Abram could not have known what the cost would be when in verse 3, God says to him, in you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He could not have known what that would mean, but Paul on the other side did. He says in Ephesians 1, where we just were, verses 7 and 8, in him, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. The cost of his favor was not small. When God desired to express to us his favor towards us, God knew that that expression would come at great cost to him, great cost to God the Son, that it would be through the shedding of his blood. There was one Christmas many years ago when my entire family was together, and one of the extended members of our family drew my name in the lot, which people should never do. That's like a bad popularity contest, you know? And when it was time for me to get my gift, out comes from a pocket in the jacket comes something that's still in the bag from the store, probably the dollar store. It's still in the bag from the store, and it was just thrown across the room at me, as if to say, I put as little effort and thought into this as possible. But that is not the case with God towards you. God is not only not indifferent towards you, God at great cost to himself extended his blessing to you, extended his favor to you, so that you might know his disposition towards you. He said to Abraham, I will make your name great. And for certain, there are many people that look to Abram as their spiritual father, or they look to Abram as their ethnic father. But that's not what God had in mind. I think what God had in mind is in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 9. When it speaks of Christ and it speaks of the cross and his willingness to empty himself, it says there, who, speaking of Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God is highly exalted and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So when he says to Abraham, he says, I'm going to give you a great name. He could have very easily said, and there's going to be one that's going to come from you who's going to have the greatest name. He's going to have the greatest name because he is going to be the full expression of my favor towards you. And the third thing I want you to see quickly, you know it's going to start with a C, the cascade of God's favor. The cascade of God's favor. What is the blessing of God? I said to you, I don't want you to hear that what I'm saying is that if you come to faith in Christ, it means that suddenly you don't need a vaccine. Because you've got Jesus, right? And if you've got Jesus, you don't need a vaccine. You don't need to think about going to work tomorrow because Jesus is just going to make the deposits in your account for you. That is not the point of what he's saying here. The point of what he's saying here is that the blessing of God is Jesus. It's Jesus first and it's Jesus last. That is the blessing of God over your life, is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3, I said we were going to come back to it, and here we are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's why I said it's Jesus first and it's Jesus last, but what God does is God unlocks so many other blessings in between. He unlocks so many other ways that he is going to bless us. The greatest blessing that God can give you is not an end to this current situation that we're all in. The greatest blessing God can give you is Jesus Christ. Because of our great need of being set free from the weight of our sin, because of our great need of no longer being separated from God. But with every spiritual blessing that he's referring to, this cascade of God's favor in our life. Because when Jesus comes in, everything else begins to change. We find peace with God in our heart. We find as we grow that there's an increasing knowledge and understanding of God. There's an increasing understanding of his ways and his will for us. There's a joy of his presence. God has blessed you with his favor because he's good and loving. He's blessed you with his favor in Jesus Christ. This is the meaning of Christmas. This is what he's conveying, that God has turned away from his wrath for a time, and he's turned towards you in Christ with his favor, with his blessing. So if you want the favor of God, you may receive it. You may have it in Jesus Christ. And if you want to walk in it, then you do so by embracing the reality that you are blessed. How do we walk as blessed? We walk in the joy of knowing that this is the basis, this is the foundation of God's attitude towards me. This is his desire to bless me. That way I know that whatever else is happening, I know that it's God's desire to bless me through it. So we walk in the joy of that. We walk in the confidence of that. And we walk seeking to be a blessing, to be the overflow, the cascade of that blessing in our life. I want you this morning to know, I want you to know, no matter what is going on in your life right now, that God's disposition towards you is to desire to bless you. And the way he would do that is by pointing you to his son, Jesus Christ. My prayer for you this morning, whether you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, is that you would come to know him. My prayer for you this morning, if you already know Christ, is that you might walk in the joy of knowing that that's the banner that flies over your life. That's the thing that defines you as a Christian, is I am a person who is blessed by God. I'm a person who has the favor of God. Would you pray with me?